You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
The song's actually doing not bad. You know, I expected it to do a lot worse. The original tweet that I did last week when I used the video service, it pretty much peaked at 485 views for the video snippet that I made.
Okay.
So that doesn't equate for some reason into YouTube views. But that's okay. It means 485 people watched it. Or maybe one person watched it 485 times. I don't know. I hope not.
That's an Uber
it
fan.
It wasn't me. Yeah, I know. It wasn't me. I don't really get that excited about my own stuff. I just put it out there and then I complain about it like the whole time. It's like, oh, I hated that. And I did this and I did that. And, I don't like it. But well, yeah.
I can definitely attest to the notion that we are our own worst critics.
Yes.
And I listened to the song. I loved it. So I think, like I told you via message, I think you're an amazing artist. And I know, you know, I retweeted it, but I mean,
yeah,
I'm just one listener. So.
I know. I appreciate you and the other 484 people that. Did you hear it yet, Scott?
Scott? I'm sorry, I have not. I've been a little consumed the last couple weeks with getting ready for this party that we had last night.
How was that? Oh my God, listen to me going on and on about myself. How was your 50th? Happy 50th birthday.
Oh, thanks. We're celebrating Chrissy's also because she's coming
happy
up.
Happy 50th. I like your wife. She's awesome. I'm so sorry, Scott. I'm so sorry. I meant to post it on Facebook and everything. I know I'm being sincere. I am very sorry.
No, my birthday was a few weeks ago, and hers is coming up in about a little over a month. So we decided to combine the two parties to one, you know, one big bash. And it was all 80s, and everybody brought every bit of their 80s love to the party, and it was a freaking blast. And it was just really it came off without a hitch, really.
Awesome.
It was so much fun. And there's pictures out there.
How many Madonnas did you have?
Huh?
How many Madonnas did you have?
Well, we had, you know, a lot of the ladies dressed in that type of look, you know. The lace, the tulle tutus, and you know, some neon colors and stuff that you know, that it was kind of a mix of a Madonna and neon colors thing. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a contest for the best dress, you know, best get up. And, this one guy, Fabio, he came as Richard Simmons.
Oh my God. I was going to ask you about that picture.
Oh,
that guy is so brave.
Okay, and not only did he just come dressed as Richard Simmons, I really wish I had a video of him coming in the house, because he channeled Richard Simmons.
Oh,
it was hysterical. I mean, he won by a landslide as far as like everybody's vote. You know, everybody took paper and people voted for the best, and he won by a landslide. We had 33 guests plus Chrissy and I, so 35 votes, and he got 17 of them. So,
wow.
Yeah, he smoked Damn. Everybody, you know, and then everybody else got like 2, 3, 4, you know, a few others here and there.
Win it.
So yeah, it was amazing. It really was amazing. Cool. And there's a bunch of pictures on Facebook. So if you guys get a chance, go take a look at the pictures.
Yeah, I already scrolled through them.
Oh my gosh, it's hysterical. We had a really, really good time, and it went late into the evening. And as did my Friday night, because we had bought tickets for Chrissy and I had gone to see Pablo Cruz, and they opened up for the Little River Band, which was an amazing concert. We had really cool seats. I mean, it's a small theater, only holds about 2,500, but we were like in the middle, about 20 rows back. So it was awesome. So I've been up late the last two nights, and I have to get up early tomorrow. So I'm hoping we don't go into the 10:30 range again tonight. But no, overall.
Sounds like you've had a great weekend.
This weekend has been fabulous. Really. Yeah, it's been amazing. But that party last night, everybody just had a ball. And I had these DVDs that I had bought online years ago that were all 80s videos. And I had that playing. I had that playing in the background. I had the classic Atari set up on the TV out on the little lanai area by the pool. Of course, we can't use the pool. The water's still too cold. But it was a beautiful night. It was like 80 degrees, 78, 80 degrees, somewhere in there. And then the best part, though, and it was Chrissy has gone all out with the decorations in this place. She made Pac-Man on the wall. Like, she actually cut out all the dots and cut out a Pac-Man. And you can see him. You can see some of them in the pictures. And then we had, because we were trying to recreate the feel of an 80s party, right? Mm-hmm. We had quarters game going on in the garage. And it was fantastic. Everybody had such a great time playing quarters in the garage. it's just one of those things that brings you back to that time of when we were teenagers playing, just experimenting with alcohol at the time,
because
we were all underage back then. But man, it was really a good time. So
cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to top that one for a while. Yeah,
that's so neat. I'm glad you had a good time.
Oh yeah, everybody really brought it. That was the thing. Everybody was just so committed to being in the moment and really going back to the 80s. So you'll see in the pictures some of the costumes, some of the get-ups that people were doing.
Yeah,
you can hardly recognize me.
I like the one where you guys are holding a bottle of Jack and you've got the Peter Frampton album.
Yeah, I know that's 70s, but we just happened to be looking through some of the other albums that we had, and I held it up as somebody took our picture. So, yeah, that's my cousin Carl, by the way, that's in that picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's check those out.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, get ready for Scott with some serious hair.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Just think, think CC DeVille.
Yeah.
Think Dee Snider.
Okay.
I didn't have that much makeup on, though, but that, I mean, the oh, big, huge white blonde hair, platinum blonde hair. Yeah.
Nice.
So, anyway, let's, enough about the party. Everybody, if anybody wants to go see it, they can, look, my page or my profile is public. If you guys want to look on Facebook, any listeners that don't have, that can just want to look at them, they're on my Facebook page. So at least I think they are. I know I put them in the event, so we'll see. I might have to repost them just under my timeline to do that. So it was a blast, though. Total blast.
Awesome.
Oh, wait, one more thing. My wife made these really cool other cool things. She made giant Rubik's cubes.
Out of what?
Like boxes. Like, we took a 16 by 16 box and a 20 by 20 box and I think it was like an 8 by 8 box, and spray painted them black, and then you put the colored, you know, you cut out the squares.
Right.
Wow.
And she put them all over. I think there's a, there might be a picture up there somewhere in the...
That's in the, dedication.
Oh, yeah. She went really... She went above and beyond when it comes to all the decorating ideas and stuff. I was just there as, like, you know...
you were a minion.
Like, I was like the hired help, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. except quarters was my idea, so...
Oh, okay. That, all
right. Nice. Well done.
Other than that, it was all her. So she deserves all the credit for putting it together. Turned out fabulous.
Nice.
So anyway, that's all.
All right. Cool. Very cool.
So on topic tonight, did you guys pick any that were TV?
Hold on. I'm going to go back to my... How do I get back? Oh, notes. Yes, I made notes.
No, oh, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, one is TV, and then my backup reserve is TV.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, then that's good. Well, I was just making sure that when we do the intro, that because mine are all movies.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to find out where we were. If anybody had any TV in there. Rose, did you have any TV?
You know, I thought about one that was TV. So, yeah, I got that.
Okay.
I want TV.
All right, cool. I've got a... I had one that I thought of that I was leading with before we, like... I totally solidified on my other ideas. That's become my honorable mention, but now I'm just wondering if it's going to get taken by you guys. But that's all good. All right, cool. So let's get started.
You should probably start then, just in case.
Yeah, let's get started. Let's see here. We're recording, as we do.
As we do.
We'll insert bumper, blah, blah, blah.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go, Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hello, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. I have got the wonderful, awesome Rose.
Hi, everybody.
And the person who promises that he is not a Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby, Scott.
Hello.
I've got to come up with something better than that. All right, so what we're doing for our topic tonight is in honor of Valentine's Day, which by the time you're listening to this would have passed, but just briefly, will be our top three 80s couples in either a TV or movie that was out at the time. So we're going to be just looking at the different... Well, movies and TV that were going on at that time, and just seeing if there's a couple that stands out that we want to talk about. We all picked our top three. I have a feeling there might be one or two that we step on each other's toes, so I'm really curious to see how that's going to go. I'm tempted to go first. Just for the fact that, you know, when we went to our favorite characters in Pulp Fiction, I kind of got, like,
you know, upended. So I feel like I'm going to go first for like my favorite one, you know, because it's really kind of an obvious choice, and I don't know if it's going to be even on both of your radar or not, but because it's not a romance movie by any means, but it's In Your Face 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lead off with Empire Strikes Back, Princess Leia, Han Solo, the wonderful, awesome Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford. You know, we start the movie with them, with her calling him a, was it, scruffy-headed nerf herder? And then, you know, by the time he's getting frozen in carbonite, you know, she confesses that she loves him, and he gives a very apropos, I know. So this is just a very, just a great evolution of those characters and the, tumultuous kind of romance that, you know, would have between those two, because it was like the, you know, she loved him, but she hated him altogether because of his mannerisms and how he was just a smuggler versus, you know, out for his own thing. But, you know, through that, she was able to look past it and realize what a good man he is. So I appreciated the storyline, the drama that, you know, was between those two. You know, we'll ignore the fact that she kissed her brother, you know, mm-hmm. You know, obviously there was a connection there between those two. And I just, you know, if you're thinking 80s and, you know, you do the I Love You and somebody throws out I Know, I mean, that's that movie. Scott, what are you thinking?
Okay, first of all, I believe that the kiss, actually there was two. One in the first Star Wars and one in Empire Strikes Back, between Leia and Luke. I believe that the second one, while Han Solo was standing there, was a ploy to create jealousy, and because she was already attracted to him from the get-go.
Sure.
So that kiss never really happened. It wasn't really, it wasn't real, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It was fake. It was a ruse. Anyway.
Yeah. Like kissing your brother.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother 80s movie.
Well, if you don't know they're your brother, is it wrong?
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
That's a tough one.
It sounds like a soap opera is what that does.
Yes, it very could well end up being that way. No, this is a good pick, and it was on my radar. I mean, on the outskirts of my radar, it crossed my mind briefly. It's a good pick. That, you know, they have this this funny, frustrating relationship that they both know they want it to go somewhere, but they won't let it right away. And then it just finally, you know, comes down to the last second before he gets frozen in carbonite that she admits her true feelings.
Yeah.
Which he tells her, you know, come on, admit it, sweetheart. in the Millennium Falcon at one point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a very Sam and Diane kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just frustrate the hell out of each other, but then they just love each other so much. So Rose, what are you thinking, Empire?
That's a good one. I would have never thought that, but okay. Yeah. Totally was not on my radar at all, and it was a good pick. I think that the tension between Leia and Han Solo was very real. I think they were two of a kind. Used to getting what they want, and if they can't have it, they'll make it happen. And for them to come up with opposite bookends of each other, it's like, whoa! What is this? I don't know if I like this, and yet somehow I'm strangely attracted. But it's the whole bad boy scenario. You know, she's a princess, crying out loud.
Yeah.
And even though she's done quite a few things, she's, you know, she's naive in the ways of romance, possibly. We don't really know. But Han Solo has definitely been around the block a few times, and so he claims. He's got that swagger about him that he gets into a lot of trouble, I'm thinking. He is a scoundrel. Well, you know, back in the day, being a scoundrel, that's exactly what that meant.
Who's scruffy looking?
You know, you have no morals about pretty much anything that you do. So, yeah, scoundrel is kind of an apropos call there. But, you know, I think they obviously made it work. And I'm sure they had some really interesting arguments. Those two seem like they would argue a lot. But that's how they communicate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's a good pick. I like that.
Yeah, it was it was great to see that relationship had endured through the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. As we get to see in like The Force Awakens and things like that. So, you know, it's like, you know, maybe they're not, you know, spending a ton of time together, but when they do, they just have this connection.
Right.
And it's good to see. It's good. It is great for the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so let us go to Rose's first pick.
Oh, well, thank you. I went and I looked for the top 50, well, the top romance movies in the 80s, and I thought, I don't know. And then something popped into my head while I was making dinner. And I thought, oh, this will be a good one. And it's not in the top 50. So, and I'm hoping you all saw it. But it actually resonates more with the 21st century than it does with the 80s. Even though being on the internet was kind of part of the 80s, if you were, say, working in a bank or something like that. The movie's called Jumpin' Jack Flash. And the romantic duo that I speak of is between Whoopi Goldberg and her online mystery man, spy, espionage extraordinaire, Jack, played by Jonathan Pryce. Terry, played by Whoopi Goldberg, works in a bank, and I'm assuming she's money transfer. I never did understand what she did, but she did something that transferred money. She was some kind of a person that did that. Data entry kind of a thing, always working with numbers. She's very smart, very good at what she did. But she also knew how to keep the clients happy. You know, she had all the recipes, and she was giving love advice to people, and everybody that knew her liked her, but she just didn't have any romance in her life. And then, lo and behold, one day, this spy guy hacks into her computer and gives her all of these secret messages that she has to figure out. And in order to get him from out of harm's way, wherever he is, she has to bring him back to the United States to save his life. Because everything's pretty much wherever he is going to hell in a handbasket. So that's like the first internet date, I think. It didn't start out that way because he didn't realize that Terry was short for Teresa. And he's like, oh, no, I can't have you help me now because you're a lady and you get a little bit out of shape. But they're having these conversations late at night online. And she's trying to help him out, and he's giving her all these people to go talk to, and it's got a huge cast of pretty much nothing but comedians, actually, except for Stephen Collins and John Wood. Carol Kane is in it, Annie Potts, James Belushi's in it, just a lot of really good talent. John Lovitz is in it. He plays Doug. So, I don't know. I've watched this movie, and I say this so honestly, way more times than I probably needed to. But it was the romantic side of it that got me. Because once she finds him at the end, and she actually sees who it is, it's like, wow, okay, this is the man I risked my life for. And yeah, he's definitely worth it. All right, let's go. Kind of a thing. So it was just a really good movie. Really cute. A lot going on. They even throw some Rolling Stones in there, which is great. And I don't know, Whoopi Goldberg to me just can't do no wrong. Okay, she had that whole incident with the guy from Cheers. I don't know what they did. Showed up in blackface or something. I don't know. That was weird. But before that, I mean, she had a really good acting career. I don't know if she's still acting, but she's really good.
Okay, where are you at, Scott? Jumping Jack Flash.
It's a gas, gas, gas.
There you go.
No, I do remember. I remember the movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, and it's an interesting pick. As far as the movie goes itself, my favorite part was when she was trying to figure out the lyrics to Jumpin' Jack Flash.
I know, right?
That was hysterical. I do think it's an interesting pick because you have the mystery of not knowing who she's really talking to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of, I don't know, that's an unusual pick, but very cool. I like it.
Yeah, I'll go on record to say I'm not a Whoopi fan. Okay. Don't get me wrong, I like Sister Act and Sister Act 2. I thought those are fun movies, and I really enjoyed watching her in that. But almost everything else that she's been on, even when she jumped into Star Trek, just for some reason I checked out. There's not a lot of things that she's done that really kind of grabbed me. So I don't even remember if I've seen this movie, to be honest. Yeah, just not a fan.
Okay.
All right. Hate to rain on the parade there, but there's just sometimes there's certain actors that just don't do it for you, and she's never done it for me. Okay. I mean, I know she's like on The View or something now, and more power to her. So.
Yeah.
All right, I like the concept of what you were going for there, because the almost like a long distance romance, but online where you didn't know the other person, as Scott was saying, it has a flavor of like if we were doing 90s movies, of course we'd be talking about like Tom Hanks or Meg Ryan, like You've Got Mail. And it's the same kind of vibe to it, but, it sounds like it was a little more espionage to it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Thank
you. Okay. Scott, your first pick.
It's tough to call the first pick. I'm going to go with something from TV.
Okay.
And it was a relationship between two younger people. I don't even know if they're teenagers yet in this, but I don't think so when it first started. It was Kevin Arnold and Winnie Cooper.
Oh.
That's it. Oh, that's the one I was thinking of earlier. That's it.
That was gonna get taken?
No, that was the TV the first one that immediately popped in my brain when we talked about movies or TV, and I was like,
yeah.
Of course, Kevin and Winnie. So yeah. Please go ahead.
It's a great, it really brings you back to when you're like in grade school. Does she like me or like me? You know, and it's I like you. But it's really it kind of you get that. That tension of attraction, that you know, they want, they're trying so hard to make this thing happen because they know they're attracted to each other. Although they're so young and, you know, in the early stages that, you know, they experienced their first kiss together, and it's just really, it was a cool relationship, and they kept building on it, over the several years that the show was on. So I don't remember how many years that actually ran. 5 years. So it might have been six seasons. So yeah, just over the years, you know, they kept that relationship going for a long time, and it was just always a fun one to watch blossom as, you know, as they grew into teenagers and stuff. So it's cool. Cute, you know? Cute, heartwarming, soft, fuzzy. It's Valentine's week, so
yeah, I brought up the YouTube clip of their first kiss earlier today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I actually watched that, where he takes his jacket off, puts it on her because she's, you know, on the, like, I guess there's some sort of like was it a tree that looked like it was down or something, and she was just on the limb. And so he's sitting there talking to her, and I think it was her brother that died, maybe. And so, you know, he was consoling her. And, you know, he puts his jacket on her. Then you start breaking into the When a Man Loves a Woman song, and then they have the kiss.
It's very romantic.
Yeah, and it was just like, wow. You know, even after all these years, that moment still was, you know, great to watch again. Mm-hmm. So the only reason why I hesitated it being on my pick was because I was trying to wrestle with, was that really 80s or was that more 90s?
Well, the first two seasons were in the 80s, so that's kind of where I went. And it's got an 80s feel to it, you know?
It does.
So that's why I went with it.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. Like I said, it was on my list. That was on and off my list. Rose, where are you at with that?
I honestly didn't watch the show very much. I saw certain episodes. My kids, you know, like in passing, my kids are older now, and they were branching out and watching different things on TV. And it wasn't one of the ones that we sat down as a family to watch.
Right.
Only because it just, I don't know, it just didn't really resonate, I guess. But I do remember the relationship between the two of them. And to this day, it's probably one of the cutest couples, you know, in television history.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and I think they got together and then they break up and then they got back together again. And
Yeah.
So it was just really super cute that, you know, they were a couple. I was really glad to see them become one, even though they were all of 12.
I know.
But, you know, who are you going to stand in the way of true love? Can't. Yeah. You just can't do it. So it was a good pick. I'd forgotten all about that.
Cool.
Yeah, and, you know, to follow up on our Goonies discussion, I could see why that wouldn't have been high on your radar, Rose. Mm-hmm. Just for the, you know, because as we discussed, you know, it's like one of those things where if your kids were into it, then by proxy, you would have been into it. But if nobody was kind of, you know, saying, you know, Team Wonder Years, you know, you wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been on. And so I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
All right, so we're on to my next pick.
Okay.
I am going to go... I'll stick chronological. So my first pick was 1980. I'm going 1983 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be bringing up Randy and Julie from Valley Girl.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
So, Randy, Nick Cage, Julie, Deborah Foreman. Wonderful movie of just these, you know, this guy that is for lack of a better way of putting it, the wrong side of the tracks, or maybe the right side of the tracks, depending on how you look at it. You know, one is just, you know, having the, I don't care, here's how I'm going to dress, and just, you know, go crazy. And you've got the other conformists, you know, which was the Valley Girl, you know, type of deal where everybody was just like each other. And, you know, them kind of evolving, you know, towards each other and just appreciating each other. And it was kind of almost a 80s version of a Romeo and Juliet, where you had people that had two different walks of life, but they just really enjoyed each other. But, you know, in this case, without any sword fights. but, you know, it was just a really fun movie. I've said before that I was, you know, a fan of Valley Girl. And so just Randy and Julie, you know, have been cemented as one of my top three 80s couples.
Nice.
Rose, what are you thinking?
You know, I've only seen that movie once. And okay. I never revisited it. I don't know why. I liked it because it was different. Nicolas Cage was probably just like up and coming. So he was definitely one to look out for, which I did. Matter of fact, he's in one of my choices as a love interest. So obviously he's really good at being a romantic leading man. So,
but you mean he's on one of your top three couples?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is.
I didn't know if you meant like you had like some sort of crush on him or something. I was like, oh, no. Oh, you're confessing. Oh, cool.
I don't know.
Confessing your love for Mr. Cage.
But okay. But it's a good pick. It's a good pick for all the right reasons, and it solidifies the whole meaning of what you're talking about. See, even as your choice that you picked, I know I'm getting too deep here, so bring me back in if you can. With all of the movies that came out in the 80s, I know there's people are going, oh, well, I could just name three right off the top of my head. It's this one, and this one. And it'll be right there in top 10, you know. But sometimes you have to dig a little deeper, you know, to not be the obvious person, which is Nicolas Cage's character in Valley Girl.
Yeah.
He was too far from obvious, you know. And he liked someone who was, like, super obvious because she was used to being, you know, the center of attention and where she lived, and all of her friends were like her. Look, they all look the same, and it was just safer that way, I guess. They liked the safety net of being who they were, and he was like, "No, I'm cutting a hole in my safety net. So, I don't want to be safe." So, I thought that was pretty cool. Good pick there.
Awesome. Like, for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. So, like, gag me with a spoon, you know? Scott, what are you thinking? Valley Girl.
I like it. It's a good pick. It was, you know, I was looking through a bunch of different movies to get some ideas, and I saw that one pop up. I'm like, oh, that's a really good one. And I thought, you know, I bet Dave picks that one.
Did you have that one for me already?
I kind of thought you might go with that one, because I know that you have a special place in your heart for the movie Valley Girl. And, you know, I love the movie too. In fact, I just showed a friend of mine a clip from that movie. Just the trailer. Actually, I showed him the trailer because he didn't know it. He's 41. And so he's a little bit, you know, he doesn't have as much 80s experience as far as like some of the more adult movies versus the, you know, kid movies. So I just happened to show him that clip on Thursday actually, the trailer on Thursday for Valley Girl. So it's still fresh in my mind. Because for the party last night, he wanted to go as like a punker, but he's got this crazy hair, and when you look at the pictures, you're gonna see his hair was amazing as a punker, because he has it like really tight and like on the sides, but he has long hair like a mohawk in the middle, but he never wears it like a mohawk. He pulls it back in a, you know, like a ponytail. But he had it, he had his people do the his hair person or whatever do this mohawk that was like, it reminded me of remember the movie Fletch when he's he's dreaming about being a basketball player for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And he says he's 6'4", 6'8" with the afro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well Jimmy is about 5'8" and about 6'4" with the mohawk. And you guys will see the thing is huge. It's awesome.
That's a whole lot of mohawk there.
So he, and so his girlfriend Lisa, he was trying to talk her into doing like, you know, like a flash dance type thing, but she kind of went with like a you know, the sweater off the shoulder type look with that was kind of a almost a Valley Girl feel to it. I'm like, dude, it's just like, you know, it's the forbidden love between the punk rocker and the Valley Girl. And he's like, what are you talking about? So I had to show him the trailer. So
Oh my goodness. That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna wait till you see his hair.
How did he keep the mohawk up? Aquanet?
Actually I don't think it was Aquanet, but we did have as one of our prizes, because it was a pick, you know, we put a bunch of prizes in a box, like silly little things for best costumes and stuff. So we had like the movie The Outsiders in there, the movie not Big. Oh, Roadhouse was in there. And then and then there were two cans of Aquanet. And then there was some, what was it called? Primo? Some kind of, like, it's like, it's one of those fake perfumes. Not fake perfume, but it's like an imitation like perfume. Yeah, it was like an imitation perfume, and it was called Primo, and I cannot remember what it was supposed to be. There's still a couple left over in the box, but anyway. I'm sorry, way roundabout. Just watched the trailer. It was on my radar. I knew Dave would pick it, so that's my story.
I'm almost thinking when we get to my third pick that I'm gonna I'm gonna see if you can pick it. I'm just curious. I'm just see if I'm predictable. All right, so cool. That I just loved, you know, like I said, I want to bring up Valley Girl because, you know, it has a special place in my heart. Rose, you're next.
I went ahead and found a TV pick. I wasn't going to, but I thought, what the heck? And I thought about of all the TV couples that I'd seen in the 80s, which one of those kind of stood out more than the rest. And this was actually a show that my oldest son liked because he liked the main character wasn't the parents. The main character is always the kids, right?
Right.
So it was Mike Seaver's parents, Jason and Maggie Seaver.
Huh.
Played by Alan Thicke and Joanna Kearns. And, you know, it was just to me, okay, I might not have watched all 167 episodes, but of the episodes that I did watch, they were such a tight-knit couple. They pretty much, I don't know if it was because, you know, she was like a reporter, I think. I don't remember her career line, but I knew Jason was a psychiatrist. But it was just like, they had the upper hand. And they didn't let, or they didn't always let the kids kind of, you know, how kids have that tendency to like separate you and you go on the defense, well, mom said I could do this. Well, dad said I could do this kind of a thing. You know, they always had.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I didn't think you did.
I swear I was not there.
Oh, it's okay. There's this thing that kids do. You have parents.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I never did it, I swear.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, I bet you did. But it just, I don't know, they just seem really strong and unified and romantic. And it's just, they just had it going on. You know, and even if they had fights, it didn't last very long because, you know, they always did the right things to talk it out. And I don't think it was just because it was TV, because I, you know, think of a lot of couples that had children that, you know, had fights, and it just, you know, maybe it was part of the episode or their characters are supposed to argue a lot. I don't know, but it just, I don't know. It was endearing to me that they had three kids and then four after the show started to tank, that they added the little girl on, Chrissy. And it just, I don't know. It just made for a bit wholesome family viewing. So.
Yeah, I remember more about the kids than I do the actual, Jason and Maggie. So, I mean, I remember them being a strong couple, and I remember them kind of having like a, say, united front, you know, against the kids, if you want to call it that. And having a, what appeared to be a stable relationship. And so that part of it, I do remember, you know, enjoying that, you know, because I mean, it just seemed that, you know, that you're right, for a well together family that just kind of stuck together, you know, that was the right formula, you know, for them. And it just, yeah, it seemed like, you know, they just stuck together, you know, as a family unit, and they were the glue that held everybody together. But, you know, I mean, you know, I knew more, I remember more of the hijinks of like Mike and his buddy Boner and, you know, Carol and Ben and those guys than I do the family or the parents. But I do remember them being strong. You know, a strong couple. So it's a great pick.
Thank you.
Scott.
Yeah, it is a good pick. However, I'm kind of on the same, I'm in the same boat as you, Dave. I don't remember so much about the parents as I do the kids stuff going on. But I could see how it would be a, you know, it's a very romantic pick because they seem like a good family. Not romantic in the sense of love interest towards each other, but romantic in the way that it just feels like they are together as a team, and it's a good feel. You know, you get a good happy feeling from it. You know, it's like like the phrase I used before. It's the soft, warm fuzzies. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're always on the same team, and it's good to see that. And it's something that I think as a society we need to see more of in media, whether it's TV or movies or whatever, because there's so many shows that are all about broken families, not about the family unit that stays together and this team, these two parents that work together to deal with their kids, you know, shenanigans or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Although the kids were all pretty well behaved. Also, there was really not much going on. They weren't getting in that much trouble. Fairly reserved, but overall, you know, you want to see that portrayed more often, and it makes you feel good. It's a happy feeling watching them. So I totally get it. It's a great pick from that standpoint for sure.
Thank you.
All right, so we're on to Scott's next pick.
I'm gonna go with Josh and Susan.
Josh and Susan.
how long can you wait for me to clarify, right?
Yeah, Josh and Susan.
Josh Baskins.
Ah, big.
Yes, Tom Hanks and Elizabeth Perkins.
Yes.
I love that relationship. It was so fun. It was just a really fun relationship to see, because you see, this 12 or 13 year old boy in an adult body, which is really relatable. if you know what I mean, like, I feel like I'm a 12 year old most of the time. Him being and falling in love with this older woman, really, it was just a cute relationship. And, you know, she found the innocence of him, so attractive, you know, cause he wasn't like the jerk that she was dating, her boss or whatever it was. And, it's just a fun relationship. You know, you get to watch it grow, and then they have to actually part ways at the end. And it's kind of a bittersweet thing. You know, he gets to go back to his life, but he loses the girl.
So, Rose, what are you thinking big?
You know, when I pulled up the list today and I saw the ones that from 1 to 50 that IMDb had selected, and it was in there, and I went, no, not picking that one. Only because I had a really hard time with that movie.
Really?
I loved the premise. You know, the fish out of water, you know, until it got to the point to where, you know, I think I've expressed this before, until it got to the point to where he meets, you know, Elizabeth Perkins' character, and he's just like, he's still the goofy kid. I mean, he's like a 12-year-old in a grown man's body, and he can't talk to her, and he's like doing all this weird stuff to get her attention, and, you know, it's like a 12-year-old would do. And it's just like, all I can think of is like, he's not 18.
So it was a moral dilemma. It became more of a moral dilemma then.
It was a moral dilemma for me, yeah. I'm sorry, I gotta ruin it. But
that's okay.
Everything else was great.
Cool.
Everything else in it was fantastic. Of course, except for his mom being, you know, just heartbroken that her child's gone. But once again, you know, I'm a parent, so I have to look at it that way. I have to look at it through a parent's eyes. You know, even though I was really excited about him wanting to be big, and he is, and he has this amazing job, but then he's in New York City, and there's, like, crime going on all around him, and he's got this, like, rat hole that he's staying in, and it's just, he really kind of figures things out on his own, you know? So, it's a great movie, excellent premise. Just, yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. But that was a good pick, though. I'm glad you picked it. Because it deserves to be recognized.
Yeah, and I'm on the other end of the spectrum on this. Love this pick. There's so many great scenes that sets up their relationship. You know, where he's just has no clue as to what's going on or her, say, you know, motives to, like, spend time with him. You know, and it'd be like, oh, you want to sleep over? And then it's like, cool. Wow, you have to be on top.
You know? When they're in the back of the limo.
Yeah, you know, he's sitting there.
With the window, yeah, up and down.
Yeah. Playing with the radio and, you know, just playing with the phone.
Just stands
and,
up. You know,
he's just being, you know, a kid, you know, and she's like, I'm serious here. I'm being vulnerable to you. And you're just like, you know, jumping all over the place, you know, and it's like, you know, just settle down, you know, and it was just, it was funny to watch because you could see a, you know, a 12-year-old, you know, or whatever, you know, however old he was, you know, was, you know, he kind of portraying this, you know, the innocence, and it was just a fantastic relationship between those two, because, you know, in some ways he grew up a lot, but then at the same time he was still able to maintain his innocence, she helped that, so far as, you know, bringing, you know, marrying that together. Yeah, so he got way more into that, you know, being big than, of course, he anticipated. Obviously, even got that, you know, that one scene where, you know, they went a little further than you would have anticipated. And I'm sure that's kind of what was kind of bugging Rose. But, you know, it was kind of the evolution of that relationship. It really made him grow up. But then realize he wasn't ready for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what needed to happen. And I think that was a great pairing between those two.
Yeah, they had good chemistry. I mean, you know, the two actors.
Yeah.
I always liked Elizabeth Perkins too, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
A crush kind of a thing. I always thought she was cute. So, anyway. Who's next? Dave, your next pick, right?
Yeah, my last pick.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go Keith and Watts. So,
nice.
Some Kind of Wonderful, 1987. Now, I know that in the past I have been Team Amanda Jones, but I've always been a fan of this movie. Yeah, it's always been one of my favorite, you know, from, you know, this universe, you know, from the John Hughes universe. And so it's been very endearing over the time, you know, from the 80s for me. And so I had to bring this up. And as I thought about it, I was like, well, you know, the relationship between Amanda Jones and Keith really didn't get a chance to evolve too much, you know, because it was just the, you know, he gets to date her, and, you know, she's the girl from the right side of the tracks, he's the wrong side of the tracks, and yada, yada, yada. But then you start looking at the relationship between him and Watts, and you go, you know, all the setup, you know, where she's like, can you deliver the kiss that kills? Or can you, you know, or she's like, you know, taking Amanda to the side and say, well, if you break his heart, I break your face. You know, and then she gives that very heartfelt speech in the bar about how, you know, she's got to spend time away from Keith because she just can't deal with disappointing him anymore. You know, because she's always complaining about Amanda. It's just such a evolution of the relationship. And then, you know, Keith, even though, you know, this was his best friend, it just took him a while to get to that, to realize, you know, she's the one I should be with. And their chemistry, well, I mean, you know, all three of them, the chemistry just works. But Watts and Keith were fantastic. It was a great movie, and the evolution of those characters throughout that movie of Keith figuring it out. You know, even though he's kind of, you know, it took him a while to get there.
Yeah.
As she said at the end, she goes, well, you know, I knew they would be mine, but, you know, you're an idiot. Even though she didn't say that, but she might as well have, so. But, you know, he's a man, so that's the way we are. All right, so where are you at with Some Kind of Wonderful, Rose?
Bravo. It's not one of my all-time favorites, but I've watched it a few times, and as you were explaining, you're going through, you know, your reasons behind who you chose, it just dawned on me that Some Kind of Wonderful is like a role reversal of Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Andy and Ducky, you got Keith and Watt, and then of course, Amanda's the jewel in the crown, so to speak, like Blaine was for Andy. And I thought, you know, this had so much more heart to it, I think, because even though Blaine was kind of, you know, at the end, you know, his parents kind of got to him and he didn't want to take her to the prom, you know, and they kind of scared him off and things like that. Amanda kind of was always a pain in the ass, I think. I'm not if I'm recalling. She did a little bit more coaxing to realize that, you know, what she really needed was right in front of her the whole time, and she just didn't, I guess she didn't want to believe it, or, you know, she wanted to, I don't know, she just could break away from the people that were her safety net, so to speak. We go back to the reference at Valley Girl. So, I like it. I like the fact that, you know, you paired the two off that we all think should have been together. Unless Scott thinks something completely different. You know, and it's just...
No, Scott's always been Team Watts.
Okay. I just think there's a lot of people out there that are going, oh, boo, no, give her a chance. She had a chance. But yeah, so that was a good pick. I really liked it. It's a great movie. What kick-ass drum player. Just that whole scene where she's just mutilating those drums. Just awesome. Love that.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong, though. I am a Team Amanda, just for the fact that I think as a character that has evolved throughout that movie, I give her a lot of props, because she was, you know, part of that clique, and she had to realize that that clique wasn't doing anything for her, and she just kind of, she had to become independent at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're talking about couples, you know, Keith and Watts, all the way. So where you at, Scott?
Okay, so as you guys both mentioned, I'm already Team Watts. I always thought that was the cuter of the characters. But there were so many times during the movie, the first time I saw it, that I wanted to reach into the TV and smack the living shit out of Keith for being so freaking blind that this girl is totally into him and he doesn't get it. You know, and he's like, oh, Amanda Jones, I'm drawing pictures of her. She's so lovely, blah, blah, blah. But she has no clue. She has no clue that you're even alive, dude. And this other girl is throwing so many signals at you and you're blind. So, but still, it's a really cool relationship that they end up together in the end, that he finally, after, you know, hour and 40 some odd minutes or whatever it is, realizes, hey, this is the girl. This is the one. This, we've had this relationship. We've been friends forever. This feels right. So it's a great pick. I love this pick. And I'll tell you, Dave, there isn't a time that I don't go into either like a Target or Walmart or any stores that have the big bins of clearance DVDs.
Have you found it yet?
I have not, and I look every single time. Yes. I cannot walk past a bin without looking for that movie, because one day I'm going to find it, and it's just going to end. You're going to find it in your mailbox one day.
Nice.
The challenge.
Yes, it really is. It's a challenge. I'm like, why isn't it out there? I mean, I go through and I look at the, like, we were at Walmart, we were trying to find movies. I know they always have like a $3.87 DVD bin, right?
Yeah.
And I know there's always like a couple of 80s, random 80s movies thrown in there. Like, that's where we found The Outsiders and Roadhouse and Big was in there too. That mixed in with a bunch of newer movies. I'm like, one day it will be in there, and I'm going to buy that damn thing, and I'm going to send it to Dave. So if you ever do buy one, if you ever find one or buy one or find it in a garage sale, whatever, make sure you let me know so I don't do a double buy.
Yeah, and just so our listeners know, that's been kind of an ongoing thing with me is just like Scott described, if I'm ever in Walmart, or, you know, the $5 bin or, you know, what have you, or at a thrift store, I'm looking at the DVDs because I'm looking for this movie. Mm-hmm. And I never find it. Now, I can get it on, like, on demand, you know, so I know it's, you know, you can get it that way. But mm-hmm. I'd like
or
to
you
have
could buy it on you could buy it on eBay or Amazon or whatever. Right. But that takes all the fun out of the challenge of finding it out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm waiting for it to be just there, and then it's going to be like the Lost Ark of the Covenant kind of moment, where it's like, whoa, you know, you're going to the skies will open up. There'll be angels. Yeah. It'll
angels, trumpets, all kinds of stuff.
But and it'll be
cats like, and dogs living together. Yes. Total hysteria.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah.
it'll be a Wayne's World kind of moment. You know, it will be mine. Oh yes, it will be mine.
Good stuff.
So it hasn't happened yet. But like you, if I'm, you know, I've got moments to kill and I'm passing by the bin, I'm taking I'm looking maybe 2 to 3 layers in, you know, just to see if I can find it.
Oh yeah, no, I dig to the bottom of the bin every time.
Oh, see,
I can't help myself. It's this weird obsession that I've kind of acquired. Since you and I have talked about this whole thing, I'm like, no, it's got to be out there somewhere. Somebody has to have it. So
are you only looking for me, or are you just looking for whatever?
No, I totally look just for that movie for you.
Dude, that is awesome.
It's because it's a quest, my friend.
The quest.
It is the quest. It's the Goonies.
This is our treasure.
It's the treasure.
It's our Easter egg, is what it is.
It is.
All right, so Rose, your next pick.
My last pick?
Yes.
Yes, my last pick. Okay, so what I decided to go with, there were so many to choose from, but I had to go with things that I knew I watched a lot of for a reason. That way I could remember for instances like this, as opposed to things that I only seen a couple times and I couldn't recall half of the storyline. But this couple was actually part of a, I think you can call it a triangle, because I don't think when Johnny Kess, what's his name, Camerari, played by Danny Aiello in the movie Moonstruck, knew that Loretta Castorini was going to fall for his brother, played by Nicolas Cage. So in a way, it's kind of a triangle that he kind of threw her into, because he needed to have his brother's blessing to get married, and they hadn't spoken for such a long time, and he worked down at the bakery, and my goodness, would you just, while I'm visiting my dead mother in Italy, or dying, or something to that effect. She was actually dying, but she really wasn't. Just a drama queen. She does exactly what he asked her to do, and that's when the spark started to fly, because, well, they kind of figured each other out, like, in the first 10 minutes that they met each other, which was great, because she was mourning the death of her husband, and she was still wearing black, and she kind of let life get to her a little bit, you know, she had gray hair, and she didn't wear makeup, she was sporting a unibrow, and all this stuff, and then he was working and baking bread, and he had the wooden hand, because he chopped it off by accident, because his brother made him do it. You know, he was supposed to get married, and his brother, you know, had news or whatever, and he chopped his hand off, and his wife to be left him, and so he was mourning in his own way, and they just kind of found each other, and he was all in. He's like, okay, I'll just, you know, take you right now. Well, go right ahead. Just, you know, she was just all matter of fact, and just, I don't care, I deserve it, you know, and all this stuff. And I'll take the brunt of your frustrations for your brother and all this stuff. And the whole movie is just frickin' hysterical. Just from start to finish. I mean, there's just so many really good characters in there. With Olympia Dukakis and John Mahoney, God rest his soul, Vincent Gardenia, like I said, Danny Aiello. Just all of these people thrown in to this big melting pot of where they lived at. And in itself, I guess you could, you know, call Dad on his affair that he was having, but, you know, that's kind of a side story. But Loretta and Ronnie were just destined to be together. And I just love the fact that Cher won an Academy Award for that role, because she just played that so well with her heart, I think. Just really threw herself in there. And one of the few Nicolas Cage movies that I actually like watching. I'm not a huge fan of Nicolas Cage, but I'm a kind of minor fan, and this was a good one.
So when you brought this up earlier, when you said you had a different Nick Cage movie in mind, I thought for sure it was going to be Peggy Sue Got Married.
Really?
Yeah. That's the first thing that came to mind. I'm like, that's Peggy Sue Got Married. She's going to go with Kathleen Turner, you know, going back in time to her youth. And yeah, although, you know, she wasn't really interested in Nicolas Cage throughout the movie, so maybe that would have been a bad pick. And I only saw Moonstruck, I think, once. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I saw it all the way through. I think I've seen bits and pieces over the years. Mm-hmm. So I don't have much to add to this one.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, when she said Nick Cage earlier, I thought, you know, well, there's Con Air, but, you know, I guess, you know, that was in '80s. So.
No.
And come on,
a big favorite amongst a lot of people. Either.
Who doesn't? Come on, who doesn't love Con Air? That wicked mullet that he's sporting in that one—that's awesome.
And that wonderful speech dialect that he had.
Whatever it's supposed to be, Australian,
Southern something.
Southern Australian.
I've got absolutely nothing. I have not seen Moonstruck at all. Never even thought to watch it. I don't even know why.
I have a problem with people that have just one name as their name.
Really?
It kind of irritates. Like seriously, like Bono. I'm sorry, Bono, Cher, Sting. Get over yourselves. You're not that important, okay? Yes, you're big stars and all, but really, you're not that. You're not God, okay? Let's get it out. That's the only person that should have one name. It's God, in my opinion. Okay, got that off my chest.
But Rose, thank you for surprising me. Because none of your picks had either Andrew McCarthy or James Spader in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
So, quite the onion tonight.
Or John Pryor, because I could have went either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're right up there. I could have went, and I've seen them enough times, but, you know.
Yeah, and you know, as Scott was, you know, saying that I was kind of predictable, that's what I was predicting for you, was one of those picks, and you went off script, and I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for surprising me.
You're very welcome.
But you know, I mean, Andrew McCarthy and Mannequin, come on, why couldn't you pick that, really?
Kim Cattrall.
Yes.
It's been done. It's been done. And I've seen the movie way too many times, so I could probably quote it verbatim. But, you know, just wanted to add a little more substance to the show.
So we are on Scott's pick.
Yeah.
The last pick of the night.
Last pick of the night.
So, are either of you guys Elton John fans?
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan, but there's always a song that kind of stands out in my head. Mm-hmm. It goes something like this. Hold me closer, Tony Danza. So I am going with Who's the Boss? Judith Light, Tony Danza. Hi. You cannot deny you can't deny that you always wanted to see them get together, but there is always that sexual tension. Will they ever do it? Will they ever get together and be a couple? You know, I mean, eventually it does happen, and then the show tanks, of course.
Yeah. No reason to watch it now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the reason to watch it, right? So this tension that they always had between each other from the get-go is just, it was always fun to watch. So
yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. You mean people watched it for other than Alyssa Milano?
Yes, yeah. I believe
weird.
So.
Weird.
Especially when she was only like, 11 or 12 when she was first started on the show.
Yeah, but I wasn't much older.
That's true. That's true.
All right. So, what are you thinking? Who's the Boss? Go ahead, Rose.
I definitely watched it for Tony Danza, not Judith Light. the kids, definitely not really in focus. I really, really, really like Katherine Hellman.
Yes.
She's hysterical. Mona is hysterical on that show.
And just to have her there, just to bring it all back into perspective. She plays a good mom, even though she's quite distant and disconnected. But the advice still works. No, it doesn't matter how you deliver it. It's the fact that you did. So, she's had to tell her daughter on several occasions to get her head out of her butt. But I don't know. I just think, you know, as far-fetched as it seemed, because that was the whole premise of the show, you know, because he was like the first Manny, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was.
Well, I was thinking Charles in Charge.
I never thought about that. That's funny. Yeah, Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge was the first Manny, and then it was the boy. He didn't have any love interest, though.
Who's the Boss started in 90 or 84.
Yeah.
And when Charles was Charles in Charge?
86, 87. He was later on. He grew like 5 inches after they did Joni Love Chachi.
Charles in Charge was 84 to 90.
Oh, so it's same
really?
Time.
Really?
So wow. Two Mannies in 1 year.
Mannies in 1 year.
It must have been a new concept, you know?
Yeah, 84 to 92 like, was Who's the Boss, yeah.
Like Hollywood was like going, you know what we need to do?
Yeah.
And so NBC or whoever was producing whichever one, I don't know, you know, I'm just throwing names out there. NBC's going, we have this idea for, you know, this man to be, he's going to be the housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, we're going to get, you know, and then CBS or whoever is thinking, you know, we're going to have somebody be a, you know, like a nanny, but it'll be a guy and it's going to be Chachi.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And that's perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, when you think of Manny's, you think of Chachi.
Yeah.
I forgot all about Chachi.
Do you remember Joni loves Chachi, though? So,
yeah.
Just keep that in mind.
I know.
But, no, I definitely dug the show, you know, and there was something there between Angela and Tony that you wanted to have happen, but you know, it was like there's no reason to rush them together because it was kind of better for the TV show for them to have that tension of, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. you not knowing if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. Almost a moonlighting kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just kind of like, or, you know, Sam and Diane. It was like, have them have something where there's a connection and they just, you know, are trying to be, force each other to be better than they are. But at the same time, you know, I don't know, calling each other out. And mm-hmm. in a very funny sitcom kind of way in the, as they did in the 80s. I think this is a great choice. I think, you know, unlike your earlier pick, you know, Growing Pains, you know, this was a much different dynamic for a TV show.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it was just, it was more, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, but just something where they were middle class more, if that's a, you know, and it was a little more down to earth than the Seavers were. And you just had these imperfections of just this family unit that just worked together, you know, to mm-hmm. you know, to unite against, you know, whoever it was or whatever was going on. And I agree. I love Mona. She was hilarious in that show. She ruled the roost without, mm-hmm. you know, actually calling it out, but just being just the tell it like it is. I loved her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Catherine Hillman did an awesome job with that.
Absolutely.
So real quick, about Tony Danza, just something I always noticed over the years. He must have a really, really good, like a good agent, because his agent always, he always finds roles for him where Tony's name is Tony, so it's never a stretch. I'm not kidding. He's okay. So Taxi, Tony Banta, right? Uh-huh. And then if you go to who's the boss, Tony Maselli, and then. If you go down even further, like into the 90s, let's see, where'd it go? Oh, the Tony Danza show. His name is Tony DeMeo. Go a few more years up, and in Cloud Nine. No, he plays himself. That's okay. and then there's one more. Oh, The Good Cop. He plays Tony Sr. Like, really, how many times do you – how lucky is it that this guy would get so many roles that he doesn't even have to think about his own, a different character's name?
Yeah,
I'm just saying. It's just been really odd.
Yeah, he's got some good. The guy's earning that 15%. That's for sure.
Actually, there was two other shows before Taxi that he was called. He had a different name that was also Tony
Moses. So. That's a lot.
No, Fast Lane Blues, a TV movie. His name was Tony. 1978. I just always thought that was kind of funny.
That is extremely funny.
Maybe it's like one of those deals where he's like, well, I'm only going to do it if you give my character a name Tony.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, all right, well, we want you, so we'll do it. Well, he's Duke in Hollywood Nights.
Wow.
I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Yeah.
All right. So, did you guys have any, I guess, honorable mentions that you wanted to throw out there?
I do.
Let's hear it.
I have an honorable mention only because it's for a particular person that, really liked what I had to bring to the table in Goonies. No pun intended, pancake for table. thank you so much. I wanted to give this person an actual shout out on the show because, you know, they just really, you know, supported what I said, even though I mixed up Martha Plimpton and Juliette Lewis. They actually forgave me for that, which is awesome. See, if people would review our podcast more often and they could call me on these things, you know, we wouldn't have so many mistakes. But I have a special couple that I want to recognize because Pancake liked my reference to Weird Al. And I just thought, well, what better couple to give a personal and, you know, a shout out to than George Newman and Terry Campbell in UHF. Weird Al and Victoria Jackson. They just
that's funny.
They had so many issues that, you know, Terry, I think, probably was a little bit more balanced than George was really out there, and he was chill. But, you know, he's just like any of us. You know, he sees a dream and he wants to come to fruition, except he just wasn't sure what that dream was. And he had so many things that he was involved in, and he never really was able to get it together and get solidified in what he wanted to do until he found, you know, this TV station that his uncle had won in a card game. And it just was such the relationship wasn't unbalanced. I'm not going to say that. I think she was just the driving force behind him. Just where you see that adage, you know, behind every good man is a good woman. Well, she was the good woman, and he wasn't quite that man yet, but she was always hoping. And it just, I don't know. I just thought that was the cutest part of the whole movie, was the two of them, even though there was so much going on in this movie. I think just the two of them together being able to make it at the end, or at least try, because that's all you could do. It was just, I don't know. It was hopeful. So that's my honorable mention. George and Terry, UHF.
And shout out for Pancake for Table and yep. Friday Night Movie Pod.
Yeah.
All right. Scott, you got any honorable mentions?
I have a very obvious one.
Oh, let's hear it.
When Harry Met Sally. Just always loved that movie. I always loved the back and forth between the two of them, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun. But I'm not going to go into that. I think a lot of people have, you know, they get it. They understand that.
Yeah, that's
why I didn't pick it in the first place originally, just because it was a little too obvious, you know.
You know, the topic we had originally discussed, for the listener, you may not know this, but we had a back and forth around the discussion of talking about our favorite, I don't know favorite, but let's say sex scenes from the 80s, or retro, not necessarily 80s.
Yeah.
And that had actually entered my mind as, you know, the... not necessarily an actual sex scene, but just the implication of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Where yeah. Billy's talking about how he made a woman purr. And and then she goes in and demonstrates how a woman can do a fake orgasm and a guy wouldn't know, you know, in the diner.
Yes.
Just love those scenes. And so it's a great honorable mention, actually.
Yeah. So, real quick on that scene, the fake orgasm. We put up quotes all over the house, and one of the quotes was, "I'll have what she's having." So,
but
which, by the way, that actress that said that was Rob Reiner's mother.
Yes.
Nice.
That's always a fun little trivia thing.
That's so cool. I love it.
Funny. I'll have what she's having.
And I think I remember hearing that was not scripted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that was ad hoc.
That's even better.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'll have to confirm that, but I'm almost sure that I remember hearing that. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, of course, when she says something like that, you'd be like, oh my god, that has to make it in. So, All right, well, since we're doing honorable mentions, I cannot let this go without bringing up Beverly and Howard. So, favorite couple from Howard the Duck, Beverly Switzer and Howard T. Duck.
That is a disturbing pick, my friend.
Oh, well. It's,
I mean, as much as I love the movie, and as bad as the movie is, but I love it for its cheesiness and strangeness and the criticism that it received from so many people, the negative reviews and all that. I still love the movie as fun, but that's just, it just got weird with the whole duck and human thing. I mean, it got really weird. It took a strange turn. Like, you.
I'm only laughing as much as I am because this is the guy that, you know, showed us Forbidden Zone.
Hey.
It's like, really? You're going to pick on a duck woman relationship? And you showed us that? Come on, dude. But anyway, like I said, honorable mention, Beverly and Howard. All right, so if that is it, this is the part of the program where we remind everybody how to get a hold of us. We have a website. It's called Banzai. That's Banzai RetroClub.com. It has links to all of our ways to get a hold of us. There's two things that are new on that website that gives you a mechanism to reach out to us. One of them gives you the ability to record a voicemail message for us. We're able to listen to those voicemails and possibly play them back and comment on them. So I would really love for, if you're a fan of our show, you listen to us, to go to the website and record a voicemail for us. We'd really love to hear from you. There is another method that we have that's brand new, is we have a new email address, and that's mcfly@banzairetroclub.com. So if you want to shoot us an email, that is our new group email. So Rose, Scott, and I will all get that email and be able to see it and respond. And, you know, once again, if you have some commentary that would... you'd like to throw into the show, we would definitely read it and give you our take on it. So that's the website. The other thing that we like to remind you to do is go out and do this thing called reviews on iTunes. But Rose tells us about that.
So thank you again, Pancake, for calling me on my mistakes. I like to be constructively criticized. Okay, I'm not like a huge fan of it, but don't get crazy out there. But, you know, it takes a lot to put into one of these. There's a lot of research that goes on and hours of poring over the internet trying to find just the right thing to say and what to say about it. And frankly, I'm not getting any younger, so I don't always know everybody right off the top of my head. So, kudos to those of you that do. Scott and Dave are usually pretty good at that type of thing. So go out there, and we're on iTunes. Listen to our podcast. Subscribe if you dare. And leave us a review, because we'd love to hear from you, regardless of how many mistakes we make or how many times we tell the same story. It's probably the only one that we can really remember. And we just, you know, want you guys to enjoy your experience here with us. So iTunes, get on your iPhone, your iPad, do your thing. We'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Awesome. And on the website, there's also this thing called Patreon. Scott likes to tell us about that.
So Patreon, it is a way to help support our show, you know, help us you can do it many ways, not only through Patreon, but you can also buy swag on the website, which I just happen to be looking at right now. And we can get cool T-shirts and coffee mugs and stuff, and that helps us support the show also. But Patreon is there's a link directly on the website, BonsaiRetroClub.com, and you can go and you can, you know, either support us with a monthly to help us pay for the website and other services that we have, take into consideration when we're, you know, like storage and all that stuff for, you know, the web, which is not free. Anyway, so Patreon, go click on that and, you know, you can give as little as a dollar a month, or you can give, you know, $500,000 in one lump sum, which we would not turn away.
We would take that. We would happily take that.
Yes. So anyway, that is Patreon, and we'd love to have your support.
Very cool. All right, and so this is the part of the program that I like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other. There's a lot of meanness in the world and just people being assholes, and I don't want you to be one of them. If you're one of our listeners, I want you to be cool and just really nice to other people, and, you know, the golden rule, you know, do as others as you would have do unto you. So just be excellent is the best way to put that, you know, as we've been taught by the great orators of Bill and Ted, and, you know, please do that. So with that, have a good whatever, because we have no idea when you are listening to this. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Alrighty.
Yay.
So no sex talk. Wow.
I almost. Said
I was
something.
Really. I've been a little. This weekend was really busy, and I would really have to research. I'd have to do a lot of research on sex.
There's a lot of preparation there.
There really is.
Oh my god! And you know, I was really surprised that more people didn't jump on that, but. No pun intended, but I just thought it would be like...
I'm on top.
Oh, hey, I was like, man, I almost, you know, in the retro club, when, you know, you mentioned, I was like, I almost said, man, I thought I was a prude, but whew, you guys not a clear room.
Yeah, exactly. But, I was like, what the hell?
It's okay. Yeah, some people don't, you know, it's not like we said our favorite porn star or anything.
Right, right.
No, maybe we should have started small. Maybe for best on-screen kiss or something. Maybe that would have just kind of. Maybe it sounds a little too much for people to handle.
Yeah, you know, in exactly it. I wasn't looking for, you know, the bounce, bounce, bounce. You know, triple X scenes or whatever. You know, your favorite porn. You know, yeah. But just something that, you know. You know, from these movies that we've been talking about all along, there's those scenes that, you know, in my mind, you know, have stayed. You know, whether it be, you know, and I'll go into a couple of the ones that I was thinking about. I was thinking about Damone and Stacy in the their pool house, you know, from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You know, I was definitely remembering Lisa Bonet and Angel Heart. There's a movie called Mischief that I think I brought up that neither one of you had seen before. But, Kelly Preston was very, likable, you know, as I like to say. You could even talk about Porky's, you know, I mean, there's definitely a lot of, you know, fun movies, you know, that were out there that would, you know, you can look at, you know, as that kind of topic.
Yeah. I think when I was talking to my daughter, talking to Lisa yesterday or Friday about our topic, is at that point, that was still the topic.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I was probably going to have a best worst list. And because I was, you know, referencing the shower scene in American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, don't forget to throw Top Gun in there, too. I was like, okay. What?
That's an uncomfortable?
Apparently she thought it was horrible.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. Knowing good and well that I wasn't going to mention it because, well, it's been a while since I've seen the movie. And
between Charlie and Maverick?
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. I wouldn't have gotten
no,
that.
No, she didn't say uncomfortable. She said it awful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she said awful.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's Lisa, so she doesn't like John Cusack either, so.
Well, that's true. Who knows? We still need to do that Icon show with Lisa. I think that would be a lot of fun.
but that was a good on-screen. Say Anything. That was a good sex scene in there. I think. Wasn't there a sex scene in Say Anything?
Was there?
I think it was like a makeout scene. I remember them steaming the wind, fogging the windows up and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't remember. Well, the other criteria I gave was implied. So it could have been.
So that was definitely implied. I mean, that was a whole lot implying. But then again, and then the one movie that I know would probably top all of them would have been 9.5 weeks, but that's all they pretty much did.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I think Scott fell asleep.
No, I'm right here.
No, yeah, because we're talking about sex, and you're like, quiet.
Research. I'm researching. I'm doing research.
Oh. You guys are funny.
Oh, that's research in a good way.
No. I'm just going to, you know, I'll explain to Chrissy what we're doing, and you know, she'll just
she'll shake her head and go, "What the hell?
Why are you watching all these clips on YouTube?" It's called research, honey. You know,
it's the closest thing to having porn, anyway. Unless you buy it yourself.
The Overlord demanded it that we know this.
To know this, your sex scenes from the 80s.
So talk to the Overlord.
Yes.
I gotta go, guys. I gotta
All right, Scott.
Doubt, and I gotta get up for work early. I have a long drive. We gotta drive like an hour and 20 minutes to get to our job, to the job I have to go do tomorrow. So it's gonna suck. Anyway, all right. It has been fun, and I will talk to you next time.
All right.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.